Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
In 1987, Pam Tebow went on a mission trip to the Philippines and got sick. She was pregnant, and the doctors advised her to get an abortion for her own safety. She refused and went ahead and carried the baby to term, gave birth to Tim Tebow, who became a big football star and won the Heisman Trophy in 2007. Inspirational, heartwarming story, right? There's a 30-second commercial about that story that was set to be aired during the Super Bowl. And that has created an uproar. Even though nobody knows what's actually going to be in the ad, just the idea of a woman deciding to carry her baby to term against the advice of her doctors when they wanted her to get an abortion for her own safety is enough to infuriate people in our culture. The president of the National Organization for Women, Terry O'Neill, said that to air that an ad like that would be, quote, extraordinarily offensive and demeaning. She doesn't even know what the ad's going to say. But she went on to say this, quote, that's not being respectful of other people's lives. It's offensive to hold one way out as being a superior way over someone else's. That's our world we live in. Greg Doyle is a national columnist. He was also outraged at the idea. Here's his quote. He says, that's the holiest day of the year. It's not a day to discuss abortion. February 7th is simply not the day to have that discussion. Maybe in a less important forum, you know, maybe it's not the holiest day of the year, but the holiest, when everyone's listening, that's not the time to talk about something like abortion or the sanctity of life. What a commentary that is on our culture. A 30-second heartwarming story about a woman risking her life for her child, offensive, demeaning, unworthy to be discussed on the holiest day of the year. We live in a dark, dark world. God created this world as a paradise. When He created it, it was perfectly good. There was no sin, no death, no suffering, no disease. Every part of it was perfectly good. And then came the fall. And man sinned, and that brought God's curse on the world. And after that, it was a very short time from the fall, from perfection to the absolute bottom. The world descended into the bottom of wickedness. And it was so bad that God just drowned the whole world of humanity and started over with righteous Noah. And He promised Noah that He would never let it get that bad again. It was necessary for it to happen once so that we would understand how wicked the human heart really is on its own when it's not preserved by God. But once that had been demonstrated, God promised He would never do that again. He would never let that happen again. So what's His plan for keeping that promise? How is God going to go about preserving the world from dropping to the bottom of depravity again? The answer comes from Genesis 12, after the flood. God calls a man by the name of Abram, renames him Abraham, and from his offspring creates a special people that would be set aside for God to function as light in the world to keep the world from plunging into total darkness again. That was His plan. Listen carefully to what God said to Abram when He first called him. Genesis 12:1. The Lord had said to Abram, go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you I will curse and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So God is going to keep the world from total moral collapse this time by blessing everyone on the planet. That's His plan. And the way God intends to bless every person on the planet is to start out by blessing this one man, Abraham, and his offspring. So, step one is to bless him and his offspring. Step two is to make them a blessing to the world. So eventually, everyone in the world receives God's blessing through them. So, you see that in the passage? I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So how does that work exactly? In what way will all people be blessed through Abraham's offspring, the Jews. Two ways. Through Scripture and through the Messiah. That's how. God would actually communicate directly to mankind in written form, and that would come through the Jews. That's the Bible, God's Word. God's only Word to man. Secondly, the Messiah would come through the Jews, and He would provide forgiveness of sin and redemption and salvation for everyone in the world. He would make that available to the whole world. And there's a word for that. There's one single word that you could use to describe all that blessing that comes through Scripture and through the Messiah. God's nickname for all that blessing is light. Light. The promises of the coming Messiah and His kingdom were couched very often in terms of light coming into a dark world. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, will make you a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Verse 16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. I will turn the darkness into light before them. Isaiah 49:1, listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, whom I will display, in whom I will display my splendor. Verse 6, he says, it's too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel that I have kept. It's too small just to, you know, be the light for Israel. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. These are the promises of the prophets. Verse 9, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Chapter 60, verse 1 of Isaiah, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So there's this promise that God is going to make His people a light, His Messiah a light, and nations will come streaming to them. The people of the Old Testament times were waiting for the Messiah to arrive and be this great light of the world. So what does that mean? What does the metaphor of light represent? I think three things. First, light exposes reality, right? If you walk into a pitch dark room, you don't know the truth about that room. You don't know anything about it. You might have some guesses about what the room is like, but unless you've seen the room before, your guesses may or may not correspond to reality. If you believe with all your heart that you are in a library and the reality is you are in a prison cell, then you're out of touch with reality. But if you flip on the light, now you're in touch with reality. Now you can see. You instantly know 1,000 facts about that room. So light is our connection with reality and truth. That's how we know what reality is. It reveals what's true and enables us to see what the actual state of affairs really is. And in the spiritual realm, it works the same way. Spiritual light enables you to discover truth about what God is like, the truth about what this world is like, and the truth about what you are like, about your own heart. Most people don't have the light. They're in the dark about all that. And so most people are not in touch with reality when it comes to those three things, about God and about the world and about themselves. And by the way, not being in touch with reality is the definition of insanity. That's what insanity is. That's what the word schizophrenia means. When what you think is going on doesn't correspond with what's actually going on in reality, that's what they refer to as insanity. And so by their own definition, the world is schizophrenic when it comes to God, and when it comes to the world around them, and when it comes to their own hearts. What they believe is not the same as what's true. And the solution is light. Because light reveals truth. So that's the first part of the meaning of the metaphor of light. It reveals truth.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.